The name Stasiak brings back a lot of memories for all kinds of wrestling fans. For the older ones, they think of Stan the Man Stasiak, one of the great wrestling legends, former WWF heavyweight champion of the world. And for the newer fans, think of Sean Stasiak, perfection, meat, all the different monikers that he was known by. Last few years, hadn't heard so much about Sean Stasiak, but he's back now, the subject of a new documentary entitled Sean Stasiak Determined. And we're glad to have him on JerryPark.com right now. First off, Sean, thanks so much for joining us.
Oh, my pleasure. Thanks for having me.
So we're going to talk about your career, the documentary, the DVD, everything in between. But first off, what have you been up to? The last few years, we haven't seen you really on the national stage of wrestling since September 02. So a lot of people are wondering where you've been.
Yeah, when I got released back in 2002, you know, I've had two aspiring careers that I've always wanted to do, and that was professional wrestling and to be a doctor of chiropractic. And so when I was released back in 2002, I was living out in Tampa, Florida at the time. And, you know, at the time I was dating a gal that lived out here in Dallas, and she said, come on out, there's a chiropractic school here. And I said, that's it, I'm packing my stuff, and away I went. I made my decision within 30 minutes when I got released that I was going to finally pursue to become a doctor of chiropractic. That's exactly what I did. I've been away for 5 years now from the mainstream, and went through that whole time just, enduring a very rigorous medical program. And now today I'm a licensed certified chiropractor.
So are you officially retired from the world of wrestling?
You know, I'd say semi-retirement, because really I've done a bunch of small independent shows in the last 5 years. I was able to keep myself in good shape. I push myself in the gym, always staying, somewhat ready and prepared. It was really a challenge for me to have to expand my mind mentally to go through that kind of program and still push myself in the gym each and every week. So I felt that it made me more of a complete person, you know. But you never say never in the wrestling business, and it's inevitable. It's in my blood. And, you know, I'm 37, but I'm a young 37-year-old. In essence, I think that the last 5 years of being away from mainstream has let my body heal. I've got more focus. I've got more direction. And if I ever was to come back to any kind of wrestling promotion, be it WWE or TNA, I definitely have a focus, a direction, and a reason to be there. I certainly don't want to waste my time and don't want to waste a company's time. I've been there and done that.
So now, how did the documentary come about? It's not your typical, one-on-one wrestling documentary. There seems to be a lot of spiritualism involved in sort of you going back, looking back at your life and your journey to where you are today. So it's a little bit different. Talk to us a bit about how the whole idea of the documentary came about.
Well, Howard Feintuck, he's a long-time, wrestling fan from the East Coast, and he moved out to L.A., and he's a writer, slash producer. And, he was looking for to do a story that had substance. He was looking initially to do kind of a, he's kind of a fan of bodybuilding. And I guess I was always one of the guys that always came in shape, year after year. And so he admired that, I guess. And so initially he wanted to do just a wrestling shoot, typical point the finger at everybody interview plus a workout routine. And as we spoke, he started to gain more insight about my life and the diversity that I had and the substance I had with it. And, I've lost both my parents and I'm the only child. So, because of the deck of cards I've been dealt, I've had, it's almost like it's forced me to really look at my true purpose here as I'm still on that journey. I believe the pieces are coming together, but, it made me to a very spiritual person. And I've had just, I could share countless stories with you. I feel like I'm going to write a book one day with my occurrences. But the diversity is what it really interests him, and then it just grew from there and evolved. And we shot it originally here in Dallas, went on to Boise, Idaho, back to the Smurf Turf, Boise State University. That's where my undergrad was, where I wrestled Division I level. Went on to Portland, Oregon, where it had a very significant impact on my life, a lot of landmarks, both my mom and dad, as you've watched the film, you knew that they both deceased there. So it brings me kind of a sense of serenity and peace when I'm there. It brings me closer to them. And, of course, the Portland Sports Arena had a huge impact on me growing up as a youngster, being the son of a famous wrestler. And then we finished up in California, where I reconnected with my good lifelong friend, spiritual brother, Rob Van Dam.
So now you've had this time to kind of remove yourself from your career and look at it, look back on everything you've accomplished. And certainly there have been some ups and some downs. Now, obviously, 5 years after your full-time status in World Wrestling Entertainment, do you look back on your career on a positive note? Do you think you've accomplished all that you set out to, or are there things out there that you felt that you weren't able to do that you had thought once that you were going to conquer?
You know, that's a, kind of a catch-22 question. I'll be honest, the first couple of years I was a little bitter, like a lot of so many wrestlers are when they get released. I think there's a lot of talent that never even scratched the surface of their potential, and I believe I'm one of them. And I think most fans, including yourself, you know, I'm a humble person, but I will call a spade. Bottom line is that I'm very grateful for the opportunity that I did get from Vince McMahon and the WWE. If it wasn't for that opportunity, nobody would know who Sean Stasiak was, and I probably wouldn't have shot this documentary because no one would have known who I was. But in the context of where I came from, my lineage, you know, and as I've been away for 5 years, I've had not only the time to reflect back just on my wrestling career, but my entire life. And, you know, I'm not out of the woods yet. I mean, I still, we learn every day, you know. And so the reflection I've had is I realized ultimately, you know, I reverted back to my roots. That was amateur wrestling. I'm a huge MMA fan. I've disciplined myself. I've gotten very, very spiritually inclined. And with all that being said, and just growing and learning and gaining wisdom in life, just in general, you know, I've had that opportunity now to realize who I am, where I came from. And I don't want to say where I was supposed to go because everything truly happens for a reason, not to sound cliche. But, you know, I know where I could have been. And you know what? I still could go today. I've stayed in shape. I've got a direction. I've got a focus. I know who Sean Stasiak is. And today, what Sean Stasiak is what, you know, I shouldn't say what he should have been all along. Yeah, you had meat. You had perfection. I didn't know what those characters were. Sean Stasiak today is a second-generation wrestler, world-class athlete full of piss and vinegar that actually could make WWE history by becoming the very first father-son duo to ever hold the WWE title. That's a true story and a piece of history that can be made. People want reality. People are glued to reality TV shows, UFC. Everybody knows the cat's out of the bag, that professional wrestling is choreographed, sure. But it takes a very unique individual to have a plethora of different talents to be able to be part of that business. There's been several, you know, professional athletes, world-class athletes, Olympic athletes that couldn't even make it, for the exception of maybe Kurt Angle and maybe a very few along the path. But point being is that I finally have a direction, a focus, and if I ever were to go back to wrestling, I think most people, and you know, whether people realize it or not, I've had so many fans come to me and say, "Man, what happened? You know, why didn't you get the ball? You know, you had so much potential, this and that, you know." And I know that, but you know, I made some mistakes, and I can see where I might have rubbed people the wrong way. I never had any wrongful intent, no matter what. But sometimes, you know, you live and learn. And if I were ever to go back, I can just tell you, I can promise you this, is that I would take a piece of my reality, which is overcoming adversity. It's taking a piece of your real life and amplifying it times 100. And if you truly believe what you are when you walk through that curtain, then everybody else is going to believe you too, because that's part of you. Anybody who's ever made it in the professional wrestling industry, be it The Rock, Stone Cold Steve Austin, just to name a couple, those guys will tell you in countless interviews, they didn't know they were searching for, they had different monikers and didn't know if they were coming or going. But for me, I felt that I was kind of like coming into my own. I started, you know, I had 4 years under my belt of TV experience. I started getting used to getting through the butterflies and the nerves and being able to focus more on my matches. And we had some, yeah, sure, there were some stupid gimmicks and silly, you know, personas, if you will. But ultimately, they weren't me. Being away has been a blessing in disguise because it's made me realize whether I ever go back or not, I've realized who Sean is becoming and who he is. And I kind of like the guy, be quite honest. He's kind of a kick-ass dude, and I think a lot of fans, if they, if I had the chance to be back on that national forum, I think that they would get behind Sean Stasiak, because what I stand for is overcoming adversity, never say never, never die attitude, never quit, keep moving forward. And so many people today, there's such a world of suffering and hurting that goes on. We're in the highest epidemic of diabetes, depression, and, you know, obesity, and it's pretty much because we live in a fast-paced society. I've learned so much that I'm dealing with my battles now. I have struggles today. We all do. But I want to take a piece of my reality instead of being Sean Stasiak, the guy with the better physique or the stupid, silly gimmicks running into milk trucks and walls and being the wildy coyote of the WWE, I want to be the guy that's seen as a guy with great passion and great energy. And that's who I am today.
So it sounds like you obviously have that wrestling itch still in you. You haven't gotten rid of it. Have you actually recently contacted WWE or TNA, the two major promotions in the United States, to try to get back into the ring?
You know, I'm at a crossroads right now in my life. You know, I will be fine with or without professional wrestling. Really, ultimately, you know, I'm a doctor of chiropractic, and shooting this film was actually a mere reflection of my life. Instead of seeing the cup as half empty, I started to see it as half full. Even though I wasn't the NCAA champion or, you know, the world wrestling or entertainment champion, I still made it to those levels and I still did well, you know? And that's when you asked me, do I feel like I felt complete with my career in wrestling and professional wrestling? And the answer is yes and no. If I never go back, yes, I have peace. The fact that I made it to a level that millions of people aspire to be. But in the context of where my potential is and where my heart is, and if I had that a real business opportunity to do something with merit, I haven't even scratched the surface. I did approach WWE, and there was some tentative talk about inducting my dad, Stan the Man, to the WWE Hall of Fame. And part of the storyline, and the fact that I believe that I may even do something creative to create an interview and post it on YouTube, or maybe even yourself, people around can post this thing and see how the fans respond to it. And, you know, some are going to love me. Some people are going to hate me. You know, it doesn't matter what you do. It's inevitable. But I pitched the idea that, you know, I induct my father, Stan the Man, to the WWE Hall of Fame. And then, you know, I say to the fans and the viewers watching that, you know, been away for 5 years. I've taken a whole different path. Chiropractic's a great, great career. You know, it's a wonderful thing, and I just took it a whole different path. But I can't deny the fact that every day I wake up and look in the mirror, I see Sean Stasiak. I see the fact that, you know, I'm the son of a former world champion, one of the pioneers of the wrestling industry, and this is where the storyline comes in. And, you know, whether this is true or not, I'm not gonna let the cat completely out of the bag, but maybe I promised my father before he passed away that I would bring the WWE title back to the Stasiak family. I promised my father that maybe I would link our names in the history books of the very first father-son duo to ever hold that title. Now, really, I don't know unless Nick Hogan can get awfully big awfully quick, or perhaps Shane McMahon is really the only one realistically that can pull this off. I know Cody Rhodes' father, Dusty Rhodes, was a world champion, but I don't think there's too many WWE champions and their sons are in the WWE. Randy Orton's got that legendary thing going on, but what I'm trying to say is that not too many people, if any, that I can think of can pull this off. What I'm trying to say is that if I had that opportunity to display that, and of course have some entertaining elements along the way, of course that's professional wrestling, but you can only imagine taking a piece of that reality of how much energy, how much passion, how much heart that I would put into that whole storyline, because it's a piece of reality that I can take and blow up on TV, because that means everything to me. I'm a team player. I'll work with the company, but I just can't see, if I'm a wrestling promoter and I'm looking to bring the best out of a talent, I'm gonna listen to that idea and I'm gonna say, what brings the best out of in Sean? And that would bring the best out in Sean, because that I only have a few years left. The clock's ticking, so it's a great opportunity for, you know, the WWE, and it'd be a good opportunity for me. I figure I got a good 5 years left in me, but the clock's ticking. So to me, it's kind of a wasted opportunity, and I'm not being biased because it's me. If it was somebody else, I'd say, man, why don't they jump on that? And that's just, you know, I'm not trying to be biased, but that's just how I truly feel,
Sean,
on a business perspective.
Do you feel as though in any way you were blackballed within the industry, and maybe more specifically WWE? Because when you look back at, you know, that alleged incident where you were, you know, for whatever reason, audio taping a conversation between Bulldog and Steve Blackman, and then you were let go from WWE, had a great run in WCW, but then you come back to World Wrestling Entertainment, and they give you this gimmick where you're pretty much you're made to be the Wile E. Coyote of the promotion, as you said. Do you feel as though you were almost punished, and now this you're kind of serving that right now for that incident 8 years ago?
You know, I'm not serving nothing because I'm not at anyone's mercy. I'm living my life of what Shawn wants to do, not anybody else. So I just want to make that clear. Do I think that when I was there, that I might have been blackballed? You know what? You know, the thoughts crossed my mind more than once. But who? You drive yourself crazy trying to figure out why and who and what in that industry. You know what? I think I might have personally. I mean, you know, when I was released the first time and went to WCW, it actually worked more in my favor. I had more TV time. I felt more of the support from the company. I made more money. Had a really good time. When I was one of the first 10 contracts bought over, I knew in my heart that I probably would get bought over because I had a good year and I had grown from that incident. And I think everyone knew, looking back in hindsight, that there was no wrongful intent whatsoever in the first place. It was a stupid thing to do. It was foolish. You know, of course, there were some things back then that I put up with as far as in a disrespectful way, nothing physically, but something I would never stand for today. But you live and learn, you know, and I don't hold any grudges or anything, but I learned from that experience. And when I got bought back over to WWE, I was like, well, you know what? I think I had faith that they're going to do something with merit this time. I don't think the company really knew what they were doing, though. It was the first time that had ever happened where Vince monopolized the industry and pretty much there's one strong company going now. And, you know, truth of the matter is you know, looking back, you know, things were supposed to change for me. I was supposed to eventually avenge myself as Shawn Stasiak, the Wile E. Coyote, and start winning matches and start, you know, develop a winning streak, and then it would maybe develop into something. But it never came. And, you know, I don't know. Was I blackballed? I mean, it wouldn't surprise me. There's so many politics in that business. I don't know. It's hard to, and I'm not going to sound bitter and point fingers and say this or that. You know, if I wasn't released from the WWE, then I wouldn't be a doctor of chiropractic. And this was another lifelong aspiring career for me. I think the big picture is starting to paint itself, and I'm starting to see as it's revealing itself more and more. That's a tough question, you know. I think a lot of people feel that way too, and I have felt that way in times, but I really, it's hard to say.
Shawn, clearly you've made a great life for yourself outside of the wrestling ring, and I'm curious to know, as someone who is now removed primarily himself from that whole industry, and now this sort of black cloud hanging over it. Just yesterday, CNN aired an hour-long documentary on, it was called Death Grip, and it was looking at...
I saw that. I watched it, yeah.
Yeah, and I would love to get your thoughts on A, you know, the documentary, and how, if it was an accurate portrayal of the business, one that you obviously know very well, and what do you think about this whole, I mean, spurning off of the Chris Benoit tragedy, which was horrific in its own right, and all this attention negatively that the world of wrestling is getting possibly looked at by Congress, and you know, all the stuff with steroids. Would love to get your thoughts on that.
You know, obviously there's a definite issue with wrestlers dropping off at early ages, you know. I don't want to make any accusations because I don't know 100%, but it's clearly a problem and it's an issue. You know, then again, the media, though, does blow things up and they look for stories like that, and I think it's just a hot seat right now. But obviously something needs to be changed and monitored, and a lot of these guys that have passed on now too, I do believe that the WWE does have a very stringent drug testing policy, and I think they're very cognizant of their athletes now, especially with this being out. It's just a tragedy what happened with Chris, and you know, it's been, what, 5 months since that happened, and at first, I mean, everybody was just so shocked, and you know, I literally probably was depressed for a few weeks, you know, literally. I wasn't real close with Chris, but the short time that I did know him, he was nothing but polite and just respectful, and I respected the heck out of him. And that just wasn't him. Which what happened. That was just something. That was just a completely different person. And who's to say why? We'll never know. It's just a tragedy that, you know, just have to pray about and just, you know, try to move forward and be positive and just move on from with the future. But you know, I don't know. With my documentary, I mean, it is about positivity. It is about taking things that where you've been wronged or you came short of personal goals or whatever, and just try to find yourself. And so my big message to everybody, and as I develop my motivational speaking career, my main message is, you know, turning to physical fitness as a means not to just manifest positivity in a physiological change of your body, but to be able to connect mentally and spiritually, and how that will carry over in other aspects of your life, be it family, careers, relationships, new visions, goals, self-esteem, and so forth. You know, I'm watching it, and I'm seeing, you know, some of these wrestlers that have just been, like, washed up and put away, and it's sad, you know, it really is. And some of these guys I looked up to, and, you know, like Dynamite Kid, for instance, I just felt really, it's just very disheartening, you know. Wish there's something I could do about it. That's just my nature. But I really don't, all I can say is really, I think that the media blows things up. It jumped all over it. So it's the hot topic. I think it's blown it out of, they're really blowing it out of proportion on some ways, but at the same time, there is an issue and it needs to be addressed. And that's all I can really say about that.
You know, for better or worse, the world of mixed martial arts has almost taken advantage of the situation in terms of luring the fans over. There are a lot of wrestling fans for multiple reasons that have grown tired with the world of professional wrestling, whether it's, you know, the storylines or all this negativity that we just spoke about. And people are loving MMA, specifically the UFC. And you mentioned that you're a big fan as well. What is it about the UFC? What is it about the world of mixed martial arts that interests you a lot?
I love it, man. I love it because, you know, it stands for, you know, Randy Couture, hands down, is my hero. He's my hero, man. I mean, in fact, you know, when I was wrestling for Boise State, we were in the Pac-10, and of course, Oregon State was in our division. He coached for Oregon State, you know, and this is before he came Randy Couture, that everyone knows. And he was just the most humble, polite, respectful man. And little did I realize, I mean, he was a badass wrestler in his day, but little did I realize that would be Randy Couture, the Ultimate Fighting, you know, heavyweight champion. Of course, he's recently resigned to go do other pursuits with his acting career and spend more time with his wife, and he doesn't have anything to prove. I use him as an example. I mean, but I respect most all those guys. I mean, there's a few punks out there, let's just face it. But, I mean, for the most part, those guys are very, very respectful. They are trained athletes, are skilled. I think for me, where I gravitated towards is because there's politics in everything, but coming from the professional wrestling business where it's just so many politics, it's sickening, it can be, I just realized that's just something that, you know, if it was 10 years earlier, I mean, I'm not saying I couldn't train for one right now. I mean, part of me wants to. You know, there's a big part of me, because what it stands for me is, it is that word determination. It is that word warrior. They're true warriors. And they're the most, you know, a lot of them are the most polite, respectful people, but they're the baddest asses walking this planet. And I guess I like the element of competition. It kind of takes me back to my amateur wrestling days, at Division I wrestling, of the competitiveness of it, because it is real. But I like the way that they've taken a little bit of the glitz and glamour and in the entrances. I think, like Tito Ortiz, for instance, I think if I was a promoter, I'd definitely want him on my promotion, because whether you love him or hate him, win, lose, or draw, the kid draws, man, you know. And I love his entrances. I get, man, you know, I get into it. I'm as big of a fan for that as some wrestling fans are of myself or other wrestlers or WWE or TNA. No, I think it's just the element of competition. It's the element of how hard those guys work. I'm actually just you've been training a little bit of jiu-jitsu and Muay Thai boxing just for the workout of it. But I realize these guys are just disciplined in so many different disciplines that makes them, it's just that much more, I respect them that much more, because I was very competitive in amateur wrestling. That was one element. You got to be good in striking, submission, conditioning, mental, all of it. And I just love the crud out of it.
Would you ever consider, you kind of touched on it, but there's guys like Sean O'Hare who've now stepped into the octagon, and Kurt Angle has talked about it. Would you ever consider it, or do you feel as though at this point in your career, maybe if it was a few years ago, perhaps, but now it may be a little too late?
No, I don't think it's too late. To be honest, it's one of those things where I don't care how good you are, you're still going to get the crap beat out of you, okay? And for me, at my age and at my stage of my life journey, As much as I do love it as a fan, and as much as I train and do my own thing just for a workout and learning new skills, I'd have to have a real reason and incentive to train for something like that. If there was a good purse to be won, right, or if I had a major reason to be locked in a cage with somebody, I guess it boils down to a contract or the the financial reward. I guess I'm not one of those young guys just dying to get into the wrestling business or get into MMA and beat the crap out of myself or my body because I just want to be part of it. I've kind of taken a different path. I became a professional wrestler, banged my body up, became a chiropractor. Now I'm 37. It would have to be a real big enticing reason to do it. I mean, for me personally. But if I had a reason and the money was good, win, lose, or draw, I train my ass off for it, and I'd go in there wanting to win without a doubt. There's no, I don't care who it was against. It wouldn't matter.
Well, Sean, it's been 5 years since wrestling fans have seen you on the national stage, and it's great to see all the positives that you've done in your life, because we've heard enough bad stories of wrestlers out of the limelight and the negativity surrounding it. And for more on Sean Stasiak, you can catch him in a new DVD at musculargalore.com. It's called Sean Stasiak Determined, and I just want to thank you so much for taking the time here on JerryPark.com with speaking to us.
It's my pleasure, and thanks for having me. And I just would like to add that right now I'm currently having a website built. It should be up in the next 3 to 4 weeks. It's going to be SeanStasiak.com. And right now I have a MySpace page. It's just MySpace.com/SeanStasiak. And as you've mentioned, you can order the DVD at www.musculargalore.com. And I hope that everybody enjoys it. And I just want everyone to know that I'm real, man. I'm just being as genuine as I can. And if I ever have the opportunity to step back on that professional wrestling forum, I just want you guys to give me a chance. And I think that I'll make you proud.
Well, I think there's a lot of fans out there that would like to see you get one last true shot with no BS gimmicks. And just, as you said, just Sean Stasiak trying to, be the first ever second generation WWF champion with his father as well. If you do ever make it there, you got to come back on here and announce it, because a lot of fans on our site would love to hear it.
Well, if you were Vince McMahon, it'd already be happening, wouldn't it?
All right, Sean. Thanks so much, and continued success in the future.
Hey, thank you, sir. I appreciate it.